Cleo.
Hello, welcome to Uva Ball Raw USA. I'm Gary Otto. This is Uva Ball. How you doing, bud?
Good. The weather is good here. That makes me happier. And I made also the decision to fly to Los Angeles to the American film market. So I will be in the beginning of November there after 7 years. And because I feel I need to push the 12 Hours Project or Elliot Ness or whatever we have forward with personal meetings. It's better, you know, on Zoom and everything, you cannot replace personal contact and to sit somebody with somebody maybe for a lunch and so on and talk. So I will do this. I think it's necessary. And the good thing is during the AFM, it's the first AFM after Corona, the American film market, where basically everybody will be there physically. And you can get a lot of people in front of you. So that, I think, is necessary and important.
Good, good. Yeah, you haven't been to the AFM in a very long time.
True, yeah. And it's not really that I need to be at the film market in the Loews Hotel. It's more that I have to be in LA and can meet around the market in restaurants, in hotels, in offices, the agents of maybe some actors, maybe some agents and managers are interested to represent me. And of course, old companions from like where I did a lot of deals with in the past and possible new ones. So I will try to meet all the streamers and some studio people. And of course my casting, the company I work with to cast the actor for 12 hours. So I meet them in their offices. I think it's better as to always send only short messages back and forth, you know? So, I mean, we have to get serious now to move.
Yeah, things are moving forward. This is great.
Yeah, you know, so, yeah. And then we just go from there. And, yeah, let's
Very
try.
Exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah, you know, it's like I felt it's necessary now. And everybody was very excited when I said I'm coming. My collaborator, like Michael Rush from KinoStar, I can stay in his apartment. So that is all good. And I really hope we can do that. And did you saw today the news with Donald Trump saying that George Bush was hiding also toxic information in the bowling area of a Chinese restaurant or something?
Yeah, a bowling alley / Chinese restaurant. George H.W. Bush hid millions of documents in this mystical Chinese restaurant. It sounds like Trump is fucking losing his mind. He's guilty.
It's like, you cannot make that up. Right? So, I mean, it's like that would be really, like, I'm super interested to learn about his... Wait, I have to close my door here. It's too long. Wait one second. You know, it's really like this... How can you get that idea? Like,
yeah.
I mean, if you want to say that George Bush was hiding information or took papers from the White House like he did, like Trump did. So I would, let's say it's a bland, like a total lie, and I assume it is a total lie. So I would say he was hiding it in a storage, secret storage or something, whatever. But I would make it more realistic.
Well, why would he go to a fucking Chinese restaurant? Like,
that is what I think. It's so hilarious, right? That Trump always tops the worst expectations, like in an absolute insane way, where you really feel like, oh my god, you know, like he really is able to completely top any anything we ever thought about. It's sensational.
Well, the fact that his followers probably are sitting there deadpan serious and they're like, and they're really thinking this could be true. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's it is really completely insane. But
he's still trying to make it seem like it's totally normal that other presidents have also taken nuclear materials and that it's nothing. You know, that's what he wants us to think, that even Bush did it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, see, I was not the only one. And then everybody went, but we don't see it because there is no proof or anything to it. And he just pulls it out of his ass.
Yeah, where would he get this information from, please?
Yeah. But that is the thing. It's like he really had to read it somewhere. I'm sure he is only in the internet, like basically checking out totally conspiracy theories, like the QAnon stuff, like stuff where people put things out there and the most absurd shit sticks with him.
Yeah.
And he thinks that is a great idea. I just retwitters this, that this is the truth, you know. So
he's like, out of his mind. He's crazy.
Yeah, it's really like it's unbelievable. And then I read yesterday about the David O. Russell. So that movie Amsterdam, what he shot, tanked. Even in that film, were like 8 superstars.
It was a pretty packed cast.
Yeah, and maybe in the last 6 years, he was basically not doing anything for 6 years because, similar to me, but he was not doing it because he was on the Me Too cancel culture list, but maybe for good reasons. I mean, when I read the article about him, he was like choking Christopher Nolan in real, like attacking him or attacking extras and hitting them and whatever. Like, so he did a lot of...
I heard about that. I heard that on the set of Three Kings, he berated an actor who was an extra for getting in the way of his shot, and he like called him a piece of shit and said that he should go like change trash cans, and that George Clooney got pissed off, and George Clooney got into a fist fight with him to standing up for the extra.
Yeah, so I mean, let's go through The Silver Lining Playbooks, American Hustle, Three Kings, The Fighter. They're all movies I really like. Joy, I don't really like it too much. I heard Huckabee's. I'm not a big fan of it. But he did a few movies. I really, really like that film. And
Huckabee's was okay. It was a little weird.
Yeah, and then he did Flirting with Disaster. That was maybe his first film, and then Three Kings. But I mean,
Flirting with Disaster, that was with Ben Stiller, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and that was good. That was a good movie.
Yes. So he definitely is an interesting filmmaker, good director, and a lot of stars stayed with him. Otherwise, they wouldn't be all in Amsterdam. You know, when you see here Christian Bale, no, it's the production here. Christian Bale, Margot Robbie, John David Washington, Chris Rock, Anya Taylor-Joy, Zoe Saldana, Mike Myers, Michael Chen, Timothy Olyphant, Taylor Swift, Rami Malek, Robert De Niro. I mean, that is the best cast film of the year. I mean, I don't know any other film with this kind of cast in the last 5 to 8 years.
Yeah. Well, it comes down to the fact that dramas just aren't selling in this superhero movie market.
Yes, and it's a period piece too. You know, it plays like 1933, before the Second World War, and the year where Hitler took over. And and I don't know really what's happening, but it is a drama, And Christian Bale was one of the producers too. So I don't want to judge it before I watch it. I will watch it when it's coming out here in Germany on a, I assume on streaming devices. And but it doesn't excuse like totally aggressive asshole behavior. The only thing in his favor, I would say, is he was also an asshole against big stars and other directors or whatever. You know, like he was not like only like berating an extra. He also went against name actors if they were. Maybe he's so excited shooting something that he loses his shit there and flips completely out. So I don't know, you
Yeah, I
know.
read that Lily Tomlin, he went off on her during the I Heart Huckabee shoot, and there's actually footage of it on YouTube.
But you remember Christian Bale as Batman, how he flipped completely out
Oh, and
and
Terminator, he went crazy on the Terminator set.
Terminator, exactly. And then Tom Cruise on the Mission Impossible thing where he berated the whole crew. I think the pressure mounts on people, you know, and then they like losing it and then
Yeah.
they flipping out, and they I'm sure they all regretted it after, but they're also you know, but they also like they feel the pressure on them for the whole production.
Well, yeah, I'd say Terminator Salvation, Christian Bale, the whole movie was riding on his shoulders, so I get you.
Yeah, you know, so and it didn't turn out good. So
It
what you
was
said about
okay.
the upcoming Avatar coming now? I mean the heat is on, you know, that they show the old Avatar in the movie theaters and it's kind of successful is maybe a good sign that people will come in to watch the new Avatar to just see what Cameron did.
Unless he has an extremely strong story that really resonates with its audience, like really touching and engaging. I don't see the movie making the kind of money that it made when it first came out.
So I mean I was blown away when I watched it in 3D the first one. So so we will definitely see in what direction it will go, you know. So
Supposedly, he's going to release it in 4K and 3D. I think the only other movie that has been released in 4K 3D was what was that movie? Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk by Ang Lee.
Oh yeah, this one. Yeah, I never watched it, but I heard about
It
it.
was pretty good, actually. You should see it. It was depressing, anti-military. Where the main character is a soldier who has traumatic. PTSD. It's very interesting.
Oh yeah, I think I watched it. No, I watched it. It was like all Amer it was an American cast, right? So it was not. I know I watched that film. It was good. It was a good film, definitely. So, yeah, coming to the Ukraine. So,
Oh boy.
Putin bombed Kiev and everything after the Ukrainians blowed up half of that bridge to the Krim.
So you think it was the Ukrainians who blew up the bridge?
Yeah, I mean, you think it was the French or what? I mean, who should do it? I mean, I think it's kind of obvious that it was maybe a rogue action from some partisans from Ukraine or one of the military, like they have like some like rogue groups military-wise, also right corner people like fascists fighting for the Ukraine. It could be this, or it could be just the regular army. Definitely, Zelensky and everybody was very happy when that happened, you know, because they said the whole time we're taking the Krim back. And without the bridge, the Russians have big problems to bring food and all kinds of stuff to the island. Now they have to use the waterway to bring stuff. And it showed Putin that not even the Krim is now safe. Because the Krim was safe for him. He annexed it 2014, and without that war now, He would just kept it. The Ukrainians would not attack it. And they're attacking it now because he tried to invade the Ukraine, and then it never worked out. But the main point is what I also tweeted in German language about it is the fact that he shot the 90 rockets into the Ukraine overnight, like randomly in cities, including the main city. I think 42 or 43 of that rockets, they shut down with the defense systems they have to Ukraine, but 40 whatever hammered into the buildings and parking spots or wherever they landed. That shows for me again that there need to be peace talks, because that idea, as I said it before, and everybody now thinks, oh, I'm a Ukrainian hater or I'm a Putin lover. No, I'm a lover of peace. I'm a lover of that people don't kill each other. And I don't want to sleep in Kiev in an apartment, and then at one point I just hear a noise and then I'm pulverized.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't get all that war excited people in Europe and US. Like, you know, General Petraeus said, if he's showing a little like a nuclear tactical bomb, we will destroy his whole army in Ukraine. We will destroy the whole ships in the Krim and the harbor, whatever. Yeah, and we're getting then all destroyed by nuclear bombs. I mean, like, I don't get it, right? But I think Putin is the wrong guy to play a poker game with if you actually have an interest to survive.
Yeah.
You know, you should play that poker game if you give a shit and you have like cancer in the final stadium and you say, I don't care, I'm dead next year no matter what. So then you play that game, but they play a poker game with kids, with our kids, with younger generations that go to school now. All this can end within hours.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that makes me so nervous. I don't get it. How are so many people, like the official government doctrine or the official government, the G7 meets today, Zelensky, and they said already, France, Germany, everybody, we give you more weapons. We give you better weapons. We give you more aggressive weapons. The US said the same. So, but what is the outcome of it? Yeah, the Ukraine with the better weapons will continue to take land back what the Russians took and declared now Russia. Yeah, so that happens. But what happens then?
Yeah.
You know, so then the Russians will send more bombs. If they cannot win, and it looks like the Russians cannot win the infantry, like door-to-door, combat-to-combat war. It doesn't look like they can win it. So
over the weekend, they had a huge attack. Russia got really pissed. So it's only going to keep going. You're right.
Yeah, you know, it's like Russia got very pissed, but then Russia is able to switch the gear.
Yeah.
Right, that is the thing. If it was, and that is why I don't get that the people don't get it. It's not a war like the PLO against Israel. You know, it's in a way almost, you can almost compare it. The PLO is doing terror attacks. The PLO is bombing a bus. The PLO, whatever, right? And then the Israelis are just bombing the shit out of the Gaza Strip.
The Palestinian.
Yeah, the Palestinian territories, right? So that is the thing. Like that, so Israel just changes the gear when the Palestinian territories or whatever, the Hamas or whatever, when they do a terror attack, when they attack, when they shoot rockets, whatever. The repercussions are way higher. So in this way, Ukraine, Russia, I think it's in a way similar and not similar, because here the Ukraine is way stronger as the Palestinians. And the Ukraine is actually now using all the Western technology weapons, and they're moving forward, and they're destroying a lot of the Russian armies there. So, and I think
the
Russian
US
army
has the U.S. has never given Palestine the kind of backing that they've given.
Support. Yeah. No, but that was only, the example was in a way bad, but was also bad and good, because it shows it's an uneven war. The Palestinians, yeah, they know they will never win the war against Israel. They can only hurt them.
It's,
you know,
fucking bullshit. I hate to say it. I'm going to just say it right now. Free Palestine. Because Israel's got enough land. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the point is also that but why then they do always terror attacks, right? So they feel helpless, they do terror attacks.
They're in an endless cycle that will never be broken unless somebody says, hey, it sucks. It really does suck. I agree.
No, but that is the situation. What I mean, it's like there we have an endless war, endless terror attacks, endless hate. So, and now in Ukraine and Russia, we're creating something similar, but on a way bigger scale, on a scale what is for the whole world a threat, that it always escalates up to the Third World War. And it's a threat for, like, the harvest, the corn, the wheat industry. It's a threat for the energy for all of Europe. You know, I read an article with that Qatar, the oil secretary, an oil and gas secretary from Qatar, and he said they deliver and make money now, you know, on gas and oil. They export more into the EU. But he said, we cannot replace the Russian gas. Europe needs the Russian gas to continue, or Europe will have a shrinking mega recession, like a shrinking economy and a mega recession. And that says a guy who wants to sell and wants to sound like, we take care of you, Europe. We have so much gas and oil. We pump it up your ass. But it's not the case. He even said they don't have a pipeline from Qatar to Europe. You know, there's... So, we're back on track.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Now you're gone again? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Hello? So, yeah, now you're back.
Okay.
So, okay.
All right. Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. So,
what was the last? I mean, we talked about Ukraine and Russia and PLO and Israel. And and what, I don't know where the taping was gone. So I just pick up the idea again. That we have a situation like in Israel, an ongoing, long-standing situation where the PLO, they hate Israel, they feel helpless, so they do terror attacks, and they're getting big repercussions from Israel against it. Israel is way stronger as the Palestinians, and they cannot win a war. So it's an ongoing thing, and it would need it like an international. And they, a few times they were almost doing a real peace. Right, but it would need really an international conference for getting things done. But then also all the Palestinian organization, the PLO, the Hamas, they all have to be on the table, and they all have to be heard. But they also have to be like following a deal, and that was in the past totally impossible. And because the Hamas and whatever, they just don't follow any deal. They just want to destroy Israel and keep going with it. So, but back to the Ukraine and Russia, I think that if we don't want an endless war there, where Ukrainians gain ground and then the Russians bombing some big cities and then they gaining ground, then it's really like urgently time to have a big conference, like a peace conference or a war conference, who gives a shit, where everybody gets hurt, including the Russians, you know. And I think it's the narrative now is that everybody who says one word about trying to negotiate with the Russians is a Putin lover. And that is the problem. It's like whatever you want to post, whatever you want to say about it, you're immediately said that you're a Putin lover. And I think that is ridiculous. You know, I posted on Facebook, I can translate it, I did it in German. So I want to translate it, Jung, I read it. It's basically, so if Putin is able to just shoot 90 rockets overnight into the Ukraine, should not our politics think for a moment that the war in the very end cannot be won from the Ukraine? I mean, Putin will not just go home and say we lost and 70,000 Russian soldiers are dead and I'm sorry about it and we're getting sanctions to bankruptcy, but I want to be still the president of Russia. He cannot do that. It will never happen. So that means if we want to further destroy human lives and money, and we dream from the final victory, then we are daydreaming. In the history of humans, a lot of times the bad people won. And a lot of times the good people or good countries or parties, whatever, had to swallow hard pills, but get over it. If we don't want fascism in Europe or the biggest economic crisis since the 20s, then we cannot continue what we're doing right now. We are in full-on recession. We have a high inflation, and we have that war, and we still have corona situation. So I live in the reality. Also, if the reality. If I don't like the reality, I don't like the reality how it is. But not we or the Ukraine can afford the war. Zelensky, Baerbock, like the German foreign minister, she's super like pro-war. She just wants to jump in the war herself. Have to put her egos away and really need to negotiate with Putin. We do it all the time. We make deals with murderers and criminal countries all the time in the past. And so now that is impossible, why? Putin knows that he did a mistake with that war, but we need to end the war for ourselves. It's not that Putin wins if we try to solve the situation and end the fighting and the war. It's like it's in our interest to do it. So for the economy and for the environment, the whole situation now with getting big tanker ships with fracking gas and Qatar gas is horrible for the environment, and it costs three times more. I mean, what is it happening if something costs three times or six times more? It happens that then the inflation is that the prices go up, right? The inflation goes more and more out of control everywhere. So, and Putin has now some territories under occupancy in the south who are basically little shitty towns, say it brutal, from like third world towns. With like not even like proper heating and stuff, and a lot of them are destroyed. And for this piece of land down there, we should bring the whole world in danger. And not only the whole world with a nuclear strike and a third world war, but also with a huge recession. What could bring Trump back in power, for example? You know? So I want that Putin loses, goes back, and they replace him with a real democratic candidate. But the chance that that happens is, I think, 1%. You know, so it's just not realistic. And if we continue the way we do, like we just give Ukraine weapons and they fight and fight and fight and hurt the Russians, in the end, Kiev will get completely destroyed by bigger and bigger bombs. And a shitty peace, a shitty negotiated deal is in the end for the Ukrainians 10 times better as to have the next 5 years that war. You know, we have a war where like almost 10 million Ukrainians are out of the country. They are in Germany, in Poland. We see them here where I live all the time, everywhere. But mostly women and kids, and the kids have to learn the language, then you have to go to school. Their husbands are all alone in Ukraine. Is that a situation you want to keep going for 5 years?
Yeah.
That basically they're losing their families, they're losing their lives as they know it, and only because it's and it gets not safer, you know? And then I know already because, look, I'm in Germany, very connected to a lot of different people and a lot of different, like, people from totally different social statuses. And I know five people right now, they don't have enough money for food. And this people is, for them, the Ukraine doesn't matter at all. They would dump them and let them all die. That is their political opinion right now, based on their own situation. And that situation will get worse and worse and worse. And you will have more and more Germans who come in that situation and who don't back that government behavior anymore. And then you will have violence against the migrants, violence against that woman, the people are here, violence against the kids. You know, it's not, it's always, you can basically, based on historic knowledge, you know that people start hating migrants as soon they get jealous, as soon they think I'm worse off as the fucking migrants.
Yeah,
you know, that will happen, and that is the thing. It's you know, Putin will not attack a NATO country, so it's too bad for the Ukraine that they're not in the NATO, but they're not, and we cannot take them in the NATO right now. But it's Ukraine is here the victim, and I totally understand that Ukraine wants to fight and win. I totally understand, but our interests are not exactly the interests of the Ukraine. Our interest must be that we live, that we defend our life, our freedom, our lifestyle. You know, it's not done with, we defend our freedom. Nobody gives a shit about it, let's face it. We are all capitalists in Europe and US. Nobody is willing to take five migrants in their home. Nobody is willing to make way less money. Nobody is willing to just be not able to fill the tank of the car anymore. Nobody's willing to do that. And before they, and when all that stuff happens now, they will get hate against the Ukraine, because ultimately they will all say to the government, why we helped them in the first place? We had cheap gas from Russia, and then we felt we have to be here the moral police and help Ukraine.
Yeah.
You know, that is the end result will exactly this. And I think we are in a total dilemma, in a dilemma. Like, yeah, you want to stand up and do the right thing, and you want to be on the side of the underdog from the Ukraine. Totally, I'm not against helping them. I'm not against any refugee from Ukraine who comes here. You know, but also at one point you cannot afford it anymore.
Yeah, especially if the safety of the rest of the world is in the balance.
Yes, that is the thing. You know, if you really have to, you know, if you really have to see the global impact of that war, it's different as an Iraq war was, or an Afghanistan war, or a Syrian war. All the Middle East wars, or what the Saudis doing against Yemen. That is stuff that is unacceptable, but it happened, but it had no impact on the economy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, there was like a hobby to sit in Afghanistan for 25 years without any real results. But this war has massive influence on the world security, on the costs. Think about also US. They're so big in debt, right? But yeah. They're discussing what can we do for the environment, and then they're fighting for a package for the environment of 500 billion, whatever. But then they're just handing over 100 billion in costs and weapons to the Ukraine.
Yep, I agree. That I think that the money situation is out of control.
Yeah. You know, because all that is gas in the fire in regards of the situation of the people in the country. When people have no more money and running out of money because of the high inflation, the high interest rates, and everything what is changing now, and you know, then how can you have, you don't use the money for them? How why you use the money for like foreign policy? You know, I mean, the fact is, and that is, I think, has to happen under like in a closed, in a very closed environment, like like secret talks, not public talks. But we talk here public, whatever we want. But I think we need a secret diplomacy where nothing is off the table. Means also giving Russia the south of Ukraine. And where, because look, you can't like the, you know, the Ukrainians this week said, we need $100 billion short term to get over the winter.
Yeah.
You know, and they need $500 billion, what they said already, to repair, rebuild the country. So is that not our duty to say then, yeah, but not from us. I mean, we don't have it. We need the money for ourselves, for the climate change, for the fight against climate change, for, you know.
I bet you that when the 2024 elections happen, this is going to be a big talking point. Like, yeah. If the Republicans win back the presidency, I bet you that they'll pull back. So that's going to be their selling point.
No, that will be Trump's winning point.
Yeah.
You know, because if he said from the beginning on, Putin would never did that when he would be the president, and he would be maybe right because he got very good along with Putin. You know, he maybe would gave Putin whatever he wanted and saying, yeah, okay, we're not taking any more countries in the NATO, whatever. So, and I think that is very bad that we have that situation, but I think with the recession, in the next, I'm not talking about the midterms now, I talk about in 2 years, the real election.
Yeah.
I think the recession will get so bad with so many unemployed people and so many people cannot pay the bills anymore, that is how you win the election. How you say, in 2 years, if the war is still going on, America would spend $400 to $500 billion on that war. And for this amount of money, you could just wire everybody like $2,000 a month. For free.
Yeah, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
Yeah. You know, you cannot have like living on food stamps in US and only to keep to keep it alive forever, to keep that war alive, because I mean, if we would cut the support, the war would be over. But we don't want this. And I would also not cut off the support. I would do you know, what I would do is diplomacy. And yeah. But I would tell Zelensky, we don't have the money to keep the war going and keep your country going.
Yeah, I know, because we're talking about an entire country here. We're not just talking about a city. $500 billion. That's crazy.
Yes, but that is how it ends up in. You know, they're already, like Europe and US already in total are on $150 billion right now. Like right now. And there is no money to rebuild because that has to happen after the war, right? And then the Ukrainians cannot pay anything. Like they the Ukrainians have no economy right now.
It's they just take a loss.
They have to bring food to the soldiers, right? So they have just costs and no money. So no, who pays no taxes there? I don't know, you know. But that is the thing. They have no income. So they cannot just expect that we full of happiness, like delivering tons of weapons for free and give them hundreds of billions in cash to fight the Russians. who we sanction with sanctions that damage us more as the Russians.
Yeah. It's just a big mess right now.
Yes. So it's very, it's the number one talking point here in Germany. Also, like, people are extremely unhappy about the situation. And that before even the big winter, the big winter bills coming for the gas. It's still very nice here, and wait till November, December, when in January, February, the billing of the people, they will drive them on the street and say, like, we expected immediate cutting cost of that for that war. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Everybody out there who's listening to the show, pray for the German people. If you do,
and the Ukraine, for everybody, for the Ukrainians, for also for the Russians, a lot of innocent Russian young people die, right? So drafted, and then they don't have support, they don't have the right winter clothes there, and everything. It's really bad, it's really for everybody bad, and to us to stop the madness, I think it's not pro Putin, it's common sense. So,
well, when you listen to the show, this show that we're on right now, I think it makes more sense in context, but it's such a complex topic that you can't really get the gist of this across in a Twitter post or a Facebook post. So I'm not surprised that people would take it and try to simplify it into right or wrong, black or white, or he's a Putin lover, or he's a hater. It's not that simple.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. Okay, then we are done for today. And I hope I have good news or whatever news for the next one.
Yes, yes. And everybody out there, please follow us on Twitter. Uwe Ball is Uwe Ball 7. I am Gary Otto 0. And share the show so we can grow. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.